All right, guys, we'll get into it. Two quick announcements, though. One, short show today. We're going to be off at 11. You got the Twins game right here at 12:05, first pitch. But before that, we'll have Twins first pitch, the show, as well as Inside Twins, I should say, as well as the
pre-game. That's hard because I'm more of a second half guy. So, you know, like that first hour. It's tough for me to ramp up.
Yeah, I know. You had to be swinging out of the gates here. Secondly, this is the second to last fast break for me, guys.
Oh,
no, I've already told you,
Charlie,
that.
Charlie, I'm sad.
Yeah, I'm sad.
We have to do something special next week.
Yeah, next week's going to be my last program here on The Huddle. We got awesome producers who will be coming in after me, but my time here is running short at WCCO Radio.
I would love the opportunity. I will come up with the fast break questions next week, and you can take my spot.
Oh, ooh, that's kind of cool. I like that.
We'll chat. We'll chat offline. Okay. Let's figure something out.
Yeah, nothing like putting you on the spot on the air. Okay, sorry.
No, we'll get right into it here, guys. Pete, we're going to start off with you. Fun day of college football. We talked about a lot of it already. A lot of Gophers, though. So let's get into some of the other matchups that happened. Only one ranked matchup yesterday, I should say. That was Missouri versus Boston College. Really good game, actually. Missouri ended up winning 27-21. You already mentioned Georgia beating Kentucky, but only by 13-12. Came down to the wire there. Wisconsin got absolutely whooped by Alabama. And by the way, their starting quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, went down with what looked like a serious knee injury. We'll have to see what that looks like going forward for the Wisconsin Badgers. Texas still looking like maybe one of the best teams in the country, dominating UTSA, even with Arch Manning having to step in at quarterback. But my question revolves around a different game, just a little rundown of games there. My question revolves around a game in Knoxville, Tennessee, where the Tennessee Volunteers put an absolute stomping on Kent State. They were up, get this, Pete, 58-0 with about 20 to 30 seconds left in the half. And I was watching this, and they called a timeout. Tennessee did. They called a timeout with about 30 seconds left in the half, up 58-0. And then they go on and throw a pass for a touchdown to lead 65-0 going into the half. By the way, I didn't even realize this. I saw this a couple of minutes ago. They onside kicked up 30 in the first quarter. recovered an onside kick. Pete, I'm normally somebody that's going to say, listen, if you don't want to get beat bad, you should just, you know, play harder, play better, all of those things. You're playing the game for a reason. But Pete, at that point, you're up 58-0 and you call a timeout. Is that unsportsmanlike? Should that be, I mean, I don't know how you ban that necessarily, but what is your opinion on that type of play?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You schedule these type of games against competition that gets their opportunity, the David versus Goliath. We all love that because every once in a great while, David comes through, right? And that's actually a pretty cool thing. And that's why I do like the early parts of the season when you see some of those huge upsets that happen. But when you're up that much, I can't figure out. I'd love to ask the coach exactly that question. Like, what were you thinking and why did you do that? And it seems like it's in poor judgment, poor sportsmanship, all of the rest of it. But maybe there's something where he could say, well, you know, we did this because of this reason, and maybe he could make sense of it for us. But I find that to be something that's pretty awful. You know, and I'm a guy who experienced a game like that when we lost 84-13 to Nebraska in 1983. That was awful. And they actually didn't run it up on us, but we couldn't stop them anyway. So that was that was part of the problem on that particular game. And they played everybody. I mean, they practically put in some of the coaches into the game to play in some of the circumstances because it got so, you know, far away. But I don't like it at all, Charlie. I think that's poor sportsmanship.
Now, Pete, did they shorten the quarter lengths at all for that game when you were playing? That happened. No,
they did not.
I'm asking that seriously because they do that. They do that nowadays for some of these blowouts. And in fact, Tennessee offered in the second half to shorten the quarters, and Kent State declined. They said, "No, we're playing the whole game."
Yeah,
and luckily, the second half was not nearly as bad as the first half.
No,
for Kent State.
They only scored 6 points.
Yeah, so still not an ideal day. Dave, what do you think about the situation?
I disagree with both of you. I'm sorry. I just. If you don't want to play the game and you don't want to deal with what's going to happen, then don't play it. Kent State probably got a good amount of money to go down to Knoxville and play Tennessee. And by the way, points and spreads and like quality wins matter. And They come up, they have Oklahoma next week, followed by Arkansas, followed by Florida, followed by Alabama, followed by Kentucky. You better be in your stride when you hit that schedule. You cannot pull back and tell your team to back off. No, you have to play like a winner. And their head coach is Josh Heupel. Okay, like, this is not exactly off-brand for him. I'm sorry. I understand sportsmanship, and I agree, but you know what? If you don't want to lose 71-0, either play better or don't go down there.
But, Dave, is there not a difference between I'm not asking the guys to play less hard. I'm asking them to not call a timeout and throw a 20-yard touchdown pass with 5 seconds left in the half when they're up 58 points. I think there's a stark difference between asking your guys not to.
There's a danger in pulling your foot off the gas any time in college football, especially when you're dealing with kids. Yeah. If you ask them to step back and you show them how to step back, now they know it. And as a coach and in college, any sport, you don't want your players ever thinking about taking your foot off the gas. And I think that's the message that he said to them. And, like, we're going all the way. They want to come down here and play us for money, we're going to go all the way. We offered to shorten the quarters and they don't want to do it, we're going to go all the way.
Yeah. Well, that was the second half. This was before the second half when they either way shortened the quarters. But yes.
I don't care. If you don't want to get your tail handed to you, don't go. Don't listen, I'm not going to go into a dark alley and try to fight Pete Najeri. And am I? Heck no. That's a losing battle. I don't care how much they're going to pay me.
Well, the players didn't decide what their schedule was going to be. The players didn't decide.
And he still whips me, then okay. No, if you don't like it, do something about it or don't play the game.
All right. Dave, we're going to move on here. Question number two. A week ago, I came on here and I proclaimed very loudly that it is incredibly unlikely that the Minnesota Twins don't make the playoffs. One week on, and it seems pretty likely. Not pretty likely. I'm not going to say that, but it seems certainly a lot more likely than it did a week ago. They were about five games up a week ago. They're now
only
two and a half games ahead of the Detroit Tigers. Who have the second easiest schedule in baseball.
Yes, their schedule is really easy.
And the Twins have a slightly harder schedule, and they were supposed to take care of business here with the Reds. That hasn't been happening. Now, Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa are back in the lineup. That's going to be a help. But
it wasn't last night.
And here's the biggest issue, right? If the starters keep giving up 10 runs, that's not going to help much. You're not going to be able to put up 11 runs per game. So, Dave, in the scenario that the Twins miss the playoffs, that they absolutely blow it down the stretch and they miss the playoffs, what should the blowback be? Or should there be firing? Should it be front office? Should there be coaches, fan protest? What is the scenario if they really do blow this thing?
Well, this was our last segment, but let's go there now because we can expand upon it then. It's bad. And I'm going to tell you right now that after what happened this week, when Rocco goes to the media and says how bad his team is and about how, you know, that's unprofessional play and all that stuff, that to me is a really dangerous area to go if you're a manager or coach or whatever it is, because you can't play that card more than once. And if you've seen coaches who've lost their mind, you know, they bang stuff against the wall, throw stuff, whatever, like that. That can only happen a couple of times. And if your team doesn't respond to that, then you're in trouble. And guess what? Rocco goes to the media, calls everyone unprofessional, and did his team respond? No, they got killed by Cincinnati last night, 10-1. And now they're 2.5 games out, and Detroit is gaining on them, and they have an easy schedule, like you said. To me, when Rocco got upset about that, and I'm not saying Rocco's not a bad manager. I'm not saying any of that stuff. This is a tactic. This is a strategy that a manager or coach takes. When you do that and you dog your team in the media and they don't respond, you have just put your head into the guillotine. And that's exactly what he did. And now is it going to come down? Who knows? We don't know yet. But if they miss the playoffs, and in this last month of the season, he pulled a pitcher at seven innings and ended up losing the game, and he lost his mind on his team, went unprofessional, and they didn't respond. As an owner and as a general manager, you're saying, Rocco may be great, but right now, his tactics aren't working. The locker room's not responding to this, and that's a big issue. So, yes, if they miss the playoffs, I absolutely think Rocco's seat is very hot, and I could see a scenario where he gets let go. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's 100%. But if they miss the playoffs after being where they were, that to me says, okay, these guys are not listening to him, and we can't get rid of the whole clubhouse. So yeah. Someone else has to go.
Well, so you're really focusing in then, obviously, on the manager position. Now, another interesting part here is the contracts of Thad Levine and Derek Falvey are up after this season. They don't have a contract now.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, it's not out of the question that there's a full reset from the Twins front office to the managerial staff. I don't know if that should happen, but I think it's certainly a possibility at this point.
I think it should happen. And I'm going to just go out there right now. And the only reason I say that is we have been this team for the last couple of years where we're playing 500 baseball, which is fine, I guess, right? I mean, you win half, you lose half, and you're kind of moving along. We always have the excitement of a little bit of a streak, and then we lose that streak. We haven't even had many streaks this year. But the reality is, how often of the 500 on the win side, how often have we beat teams that are actually good teams, that are better than us? And that's been the problem. And I would say that has a lot to do with personnel. And do we have the right folks on our team? Probably not. So because of that, I think there are some heads that are going to have to roll unless you're just satisfied with what we are doing. And if you are, that's one thing. But I don't think you are, Charlie, or anybody who's a huge Twins fan is not always very happy with what they see out on the field and us beating bad teams but not able to beat the good teams in series. That's something that's been going on now for the last couple of years.
Well, Pete, if they miss the playoffs, certainly those discussions need to happen. Now, of course, though, the question turns to who's actually at blame here, and is the front office completely hamstrung with money? You just aren't able to add. What do they do? So is it really the front office's fault if they're not able to put those players on the field? Maybe not. I don't know one way or another. It's a hard thing to analyze exactly who is at fault here. I know ownership got a lot of flack this year for coming out and saying, hey, we're not spending money. I don't care about last year. We're not gonna really be adding any big names to this team because we don't want to spend the money. We're going to move on here. We're getting late, so we'll move on to the next question. Pete. Yeah. Again, back to college football. I know you're such a college football guy, so we've talked about some top teams. Pete, how about some of the big disappointments? Florida State losing yet again to Memphis, going 0-3 on the year so far. Florida also going 1-2 now after losing another game yesterday. Kansas looking very, very beatable. They lost to Illinois, and then yesterday they lost to UNLV. And how about Purdue getting absolutely blown away in South Bend, 66-7? I forgot this one, though. Did you see Mississippi State, Pete? You see who they played? They played Toledo. Mississippi State played Toledo. They lost 41-17.
Yowza.
Mississippi State lost Toledo 41-17. I think that Toledo coach may be having some new opportunities next year to move up in the college football landscape. But having said all those names, Pete, doesn't have to be on that list, but do you think anybody's on the hot seat right now in college football?
Oh, I would think Florida State is absolutely. It's getting really, really hot. You know, it's one thing, and this goes all the way back to last year, guys, when a lot of us were arguing back and forth about this, including Florida State and any fan of Florida State, about why weren't they in the playoff? And they lost their quarterback. The quarterback was the guy who really did a lot. And unfortunately, you're starting to see a little bit more. This is not only that they're 0-3 to start off the season, but they lost that last game that they played at the end of the season as well in the bowl game. So It's something that's, I think that they're going to have to make some changes. I don't know exactly how they want to handle that, but I'm still impressed on the impressed side as opposed to the depressing side. I look at Indiana and so, wow, this kid, this quarterback or coach rather from James Madison is doing a really, really nice job. He's got a really nice quarterback in Rourke. They're 3-0. They beat up on UCLA yesterday. Illinois 3-0. They got to go to Nebraska, but they look pretty good. Bielema seems to be one of these guys who just manages to find talent when others can't. And then I look at Nebraska. Wow. That's a nice turnaround as well. And they got Illinois-Nebraska next week. That's going to be a really fun game. The Big Ten this year is really going to get shaken up because we've got teams like USC who look really great, UCLA who looks awful. We don't know what to think about Maryland and Rutgers. We all have opinions on those. But the Big Ten's going to be fun just to watch how this whole thing peels back. And is Michigan going to be able to win like they always have in the past? I'm going to say no right now. I'm going to say Michigan actually slides out of the top 20 in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know where they finish the season. They'll still have a winning record, but they don't look good at all.
Yeah, Washington also losing the Apple Cup this last week to Washington State. Yep. Not looking great there, but that's a pretty big rebuild after losing Kalen DeBoer to Alabama. So not exactly shocking to see them struggling. Dave, we're going to finish this off really quick here.
Wait, do I have an...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I have one coach I... Kirk Ferentz.
Oh, come
Iowa.
On.
I'm going to
wow.
go there.
Come on.
Yep.
Going there,
I'm
huh? going
to go there. I have a friend who's a right. huge Iowa fan, was ready to get rid of him after they lost to Iowa State. Anyway, right. go ahead.
It might be. We'll see if they lose to Minnesota this week. Who knows? Vikings 49ers kicking off in just over an hour here. Both teams going to be without some key pieces. As we've said, McCaffrey on the IR for San Francisco, Jordan Addison out for Minnesota. Dave, I wrote this for Pete, but I'm going to say Dave, for the Vikings to come out of this game with, let's face it, a surprise victory, who needs to step up? Who's the guy?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to... It.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Gosh, that's a great question. I think Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones. I think the easy one is Sam Darnold has to have another good game. But I think Aaron Jones, what, he had 94 yards last week and rushed really well. I think he's going to have to play well. I think that the defense, the secondary, is going to be taxed a little more this week, having to deal with Brandon Ayuk, having to deal with George Kittle, etc. So. It's hard. It's both sides of the ball for me, but I think if it's an immediate impact to me, this is going to be tougher on the secondary than it was last week. I mean, it just is. Daniel Jones and the wide receivers, other than Malik Nabers, are going to be very different than what Brock Purdy has. So I think this is going to be a bigger test for the secondary this week.
All right, guys, that's all we got.
All right, we'll take a quick break. A reminder, once again, we're out early today because the Twins take over after us. So we'll take a quick break and wrap up the show in a minute. You're listening to Huddle on 830 WCCO.